poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it to Friday night. You've made it through to your home for poetry addiction. We are World Poetry Open Mic. I'm your poet extraordinaire, J. Todd Underhill. On my left-hand side, the man that's been there for almost a full four complete years, Mr. Michael Amade.
Thank you for that introduction.
Over the top.
A little bit. I will say that this four-year anniversary is kind of shocking. It's almost like we could have had a degree.
Yeah.
In internet radio at this point.
I got a degree from the School of Hard Knocks is what I got.
Yeah. That'd be great to actually start a school called the School of Hard Knocks, like an actual school.
And you can hang the diplomas on your wall and actually have kids walk in.
Kids walk in and you have someone step out and like, hello, welcome to the School of Hard Knocks. Here's your first class. Kabah! Just pop them in the face.
Wouldn't it just be, name this piece of wood, the larch. Now knock on it. That's a hard knock. See?
Okay. That's class one. Okay.
No,
that's the
Coca-Cola word.
Oh, okay.
That's the punny school of comedy at the School of Hard Knocks.
Sorry, got it. Okay.
We got a whole university thing.
He's branching out into new directions.
We are, really. It's going to be good. Higher education. Whoever thought World Poetry Open Mic would go there?
All right. On his left-hand side, that voice you hear, he is our technical producer extraordinaire, easy for me to say. Also the hairiest man in poetry radio, he is the Half-Squatch.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm always left with that at the end, am I? So weird.
Well, it depends on which end you're looking at, I guess.
Whoa,
okay. Oh, sorry.
But he's a poet extraordinaire.
Yeah.
You know how you know the poet extraordinaire in your radio crew is getting better? He'll tell you.
Oh, thank you.
Wow.
Just like the lead singer to a band, right? All right. So we do poetry here, but we've had some special things go on this week. I want to kind of cover them. We have this thing that we're starting to do once a year, aside from Poetic Fest. We've taken great pride in doing this, and if you missed our special announcement on Wednesday, every year, right around this time, we try to kill Michael. No, actually what we do is we try to put out a book.
And it hasn't happened yet, jackass. Bring it on.
So, if you are interested in submitting for the next anthology, it would be World Poetry Open Mic's Anthology Deuce? Part two.
Yeah, part two.
Just number two.
Number two. And so what you're going to want to do is if you have a poem that you'd like considered, you're going to go ahead and use the skills that you learned last week from Robin and Boston Literary Magazine. You're going to email your submissions to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. And you're going to include in the subject line, anthology.
That's right. Now, you stick to the stuff you learned from Robin, and then a few weeks before that, you stick to the
Clifford Brooks School of Poetry Hard Knocks.
That's right. Let's put it together. We're going to make this better than the last one. The last one was great, but our idea is we want to step it up every single time.
And we want you to be a part of it. So check it out. If you haven't seen our anthology, it's right available on our website.
It's also on Amazon, too.
It's on Amazon. And everywhere fine books are sold. Okay, maybe not. I totally get it.
Let's just call it Amazon, which is pretty much accessible from every corner of the planet and probably the International Space Station. So we're good there.
There we go. Did they order our book?
They could. I don't know how they'd get it yet.
All right. So we do want to hear some poetry tonight. So if you want to try something out on our show, I'd normally say five unique callers. However, everybody's unique for the show. So fill up those phone lines, 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766. 866.
Or you can always use Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
I win again.
Fatality. Babality? I don't know.
Yeah.
There you go. We do have five callers lined up. Ladies and gentlemen, we get a second try at all unique poets. This is a beautiful thing.
We get a mulligan?
Are
you saying the second segment is a mulligan to the first?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
I like when we fill up because we get yet more new callers than the next segment.
Well, yeah. That's how it works.
I'm about being all-inclusive.
Are you?
Kind of like a resort, yes.
Kind of like a resort where people come and join your family and you all do things together?
Yeah.
Cult leader.
All right. So, going rogue on us. Just kidding.
Rogue one.
They can't get enough of the After Dark segment is what it is.
Well,
we should start just a different night, like a Saturday night show.
Yeah, you can do that from home on your own. That sounds wonderful because JT's wife would kill him.
Kill all of us.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't do it.
Unless it's my full-time job and I have a separate space for everything.
But you have to understand, I sit here during After Dark sometimes going, no!
Those are the hot coals I put on his feet.
Him and Tony Robbins. All right, so we do have...
True.
Yes. We do have another caller. Please welcome from Arizona. She is Mary.
Good evening.
Welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you so much, you wonderful fellers.
Where do we pick up the wonderful fellers? Did Phillips coin a phrase or something?
I'm so prophetic tonight. You know, you guys are going to just be amazed and wowed and all of that. I'm absolutely teasing. But I am going to do a poem. Not really a poem. I moved twice in the last 3 months or 2.5 months or whatever you want to call it, 2 3/4 months. And before that, I hadn't moved in 13 years. And before that, I hadn't moved in 1,000.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm kind of my head spinning.
I can
imagine. I'm in a little one bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm in a little, I got my keyboard. I got my Ion speaker. And I got my connection to the world. I got a little dog that barks when I leave, and I got a pool outside. So I don't know what else you want me to have.
Well, you know, life's good, isn't it?
Good, yeah.
There we go. So I am going to, I just have France on my mind. So here I go. Louis XVI, his reign was from 1774 until his deposition in 1792, although his formal title, after 1791, was king of the French. He was guillotined on the 21st of January in 1793. I'm going to just read you at least one witness account from Father Edgewood. Here we go. The path leading to the scaffold was extremely rough and difficult to pass. The king was obliged to lean on my arm, and from the slowness in which he proceeded, I feared for a moment that his courage might fail. But what was my astonishment when arrived at the last step? I felt that he suddenly let go my arm, and I saw him cross with a firm foot the breadth of the whole scaffold, silenced by his look alone, 15 or 20 drums that were placed opposite to me, and in a voice so loud that it must have been heard at Pont-Tournon. I heard him pronounce distinctly these memorable words. I die innocent of all the crimes laid to my charge. I pardon those who have occasioned my death. And I pray to God that the blood you are going to shed may never be visited on France. And poem.
Very well done. You touched on a subject we were going to cover later, but I think it's a great time to take a moment and let France know, with the exception of that half squatch, that our thoughts and prayers are with them.
No,
I'm just playing with you, brother. We play around and he doesn't like France, but he's okay.
If anyone gets too heavy, you know, I'm going to start crying. And then it's never good when I start crying because all the towels need washing now. I got to go to the laundry place. So,
I yeah.
Okay, onward and upward.
Mary, thank you.
Upward, great people, great poets. Let's hear some good stuff.
Oddly enough, I'm a huge kind of fan of history and also of Louis the 16th. I am. I really am.
I looked at Marie. Poor Marie. She died the same year. They guillotined her a little bit later.
Uh-huh.
She was stuck listening to her husband die. She was there in the quarters when it was all going on.
Yeah.
She knew it.
Have you ever seen the movie Marie Antoinette with Kirsten Dunst?
I have not.
You should.
That's all for me to learn about. I have so much to learn.
That's a great one, and it's directed by Francis Ford Coppola's daughter, who really seems to nail the young feminine quality of it. And it's
please email. Send me the link or send me the what you just told me because I would love to do that.
I'll make it really easy. Look up the movie called Marie Antoinette. That's it.
Oh well, that's easy enough.
Yeah, there you go.
That even I can do. Even at 54. And just a wee one, I can do that.
All right, awesome. Thank you so much.
Love you guys.
Love you too.
Bye.
That was Mary from Arizona on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Hey, J-Tun. Huh? Jinx. We both said we love you too at the exact same time.
It happens a lot.
It does.
Yeah.
You guys going to start dating now?
No, we don't say it to each other. We say it to other people.
So people are like, hey, love you guys. And then we both, in the most non-creepy way possible, look at them in the eyes and say, we love you too.
So, yes, I have a thing for, or a non-thing for the French Revolution era.
Okay.
The Three Musketeers. I think it's just
we've talked about
in
this.
My head.
All right.
You think, you mean you just played the Three Musketeers around your head?
Just over it.
You're just over the French Revolution.
I'm just over it. I've moved on. Either that or in my past life.
I was gonna say
I was
reincarnation exists, and by the time you died, you were just done with the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Maybe you were Louis the 16th.
You know that would have been.
Maybe
funny
he was Marie Antoinette.
That's right. That could be why you're so generous with cake.
I do like cake.
Who doesn't like cake?
I don't really like cake. I'm going to be honest.
Maybe
if someone doesn't like cake, I just inherently don't trust them because they can't be trusted.
Okay.
Much like someone that doesn't like bacon.
That's it. Well, see, I love bacon. That's a decision. That's also why I carry a fly swatter to keep you at bay.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right. So we do have another caller on the line. Please welcome, this time from Connecticut, she is Barbara.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I hate to bring this party down. I have a sort of somber poem, and then you were talking about cake, and I thought maybe I should read my chocolate cake recipe.
Ooh. A spoken word art, a chocolate cake recipe?
That's a cool idea.
That is a great idea. Genius, Barbara.
I think I read it once, but I think it might be good because I have the somber one I can leave for later.
Okay,
so it's called... Because there's way too much somber stuff going on in this world and just too much stuff. So, I've written a poem about that, but I think I will read the one that I wrote. Oh, God, when did I write this? 2009, when life was a little bit easier. And it was after baking a chocolate cake. So I wrote down the recipe in a poem. So here goes. Baking a chocolate cake. It starts with a mere whisper of thought. How the kitchen smells when the cake is in the oven. The taste of freshly baked chocolate cake, moist and sweet in my mouth, sliding over my tongue as it reaches to catch more flavor. Two round 8-inch cake pans receive the butter. I rub against the bottom and sides until both pans wear the butter like a coat. Melt the chocolate, glass bowl over boiling water, mix with butter, and the aroma overpowers the kitchen. I want to dip my finger into the steaming hot melted mass, and it tantalizes my senses, creeping through nostrils and into my stomach, begging me to taste. Organic brown eggs at room temperature are best. Measure the flour, sift till it is soft as silk. Some falls like indoor snow onto the floor, and clings to my hands and apron. Add measured spoonfuls of baking powder and salt. wooden spoon, worn smooth from years of stirring, mixes the separate into the whole. Mix her words with eggs and sugar, turning them lemon-colored. Add the vanilla, just a teaspoon. Smell entices me closer to the liquid, but the taste is bitter. Cooled rich chocolate creates a marble finish until the beater turns a dark brown. And the flour, add the flour mixture, alternate fresh cold milk, flour, until the batter is thick yet pourable, ready for the pans. Watch as the ribbons of mahogany fill the space in the pans. Tap once or twice to settle the contents. Place in the oven until done. Remember the timer. Wait for the aroma to overtake the kitchen as my taste buds await the moment. End poem.
Very well done, Barbara. I love that piece.
Thank you. Thank you. I think I read that one once before. You don't remember it.
I do remember. No, I do remember. And it's good. Yeah, and it's good to recycle every now and again and revisit the popular ones.
Yeah, this one I love because it's, you know, so it's fun. You know, it's cake. And you were talking about cake. And so, you know, I'm glad to have helped you to continue with the cake thing.
That was really it. We were trying to angle things to pastries and desserts. So yes. that
maybe
was
we can
really
get
helpful.
An eclair poem later.
Yeah. We're one so, day. I'm hoping for something about cheese blintzes, but I still haven't figured out how to get there.
What rhymes with blintz? Tents?
Cheese blintzes.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
It's a very Jewish thing.
It doesn't really rhyme.
I have a lot of cheese blintzes in my life.
Do you really? I would like there to be more latke in my life. But
There's
really?
A place
well,
down
I could
the road.
Make you latkes. I'm the queen of latkes. Really.
You're the queen of latke.
Yes.
So instead of let them eat cake, it's let them eat latke.
Exactly. But it takes, you see, latkes fill up the kitchen with that latke smell, and then they get all over your clothes and hair, and so it's a big deal.
So what's the downside of this?
Yeah. Now, latke and vodka.
The crunchy goodness of vodkas is not to be missed, really.
Latke and vodka. Come on now. That would work. That's another one of my great ideas about pairing things together. I had another one today. Cosmetology and cosmology. Why is that not a joint degree?
Interesting. Yeah.
No.
That would be amazing. They can tell you about the universe and do your hair at the same time.
Just paint the stars on my face.
Well, that's not, well, kind of, I guess. I feel like it could be educational and superficial.
Well, anyway.
Barbara, before you go, I do have to tell you, you know, fate has turned the tables on you. Because normally you're following Philip. However, right after you, we've got Philip coming up in order. So he's got a back clean up for you this time.
Well, you know, it's easy after cake. You know, it just gobbles up the cake and then he's done.
There you go.
Philip and I seem to be in quite a few places together lately. So we're both in Palm Jubilee. And
kind of like Batman and Robin.
Or kind of like...
Yeah, but who's which?
Or Bonnie and Clyde would be probably better suited.
I think so. Probably.
There you go.
I don't like guns. I don't like, you know, firing guns, so not good. It would have to
I was more of saying gender-wise more than anything.
Whipped cream. I'd use whipped cream guns, you know.
That's usually really effective in a bank robbery.
pardon me while I spurge you with this whipped cream
it's
bottle.
Like it's like a Disney
give me all your DM money.
Well, it's like a Disney movie where the bad guy gets pushed into the water at the end of the movie and they're like, well, that takes care of that.
And meanwhile Philip's anyway, like, and I would have gotten anyway. It away with it too if it wasn't for you middling kids.
yes and There's no After Dark tonight, right?
No. We've already had our After Dark segment for this night.
Boston was the After Dark for the evening.
See, I wrote an After Dark poem. I'll have to wait till next month, right?
Yeah, it's only a couple of weeks away now.
Yeah.
We've got the 22nd, the 29th, and then...
We'll discuss. We
Oh, okay. We've got to discuss. But we'll see what's going on.
Skip over my birthday. That's the 31st.
Well, we might have to, Barbara.
Because we don't do a show on Sundays.
Darn.
I know.
We'll have to celebrate on Friday.
Well, we'll see that. We have to figure out when our next week, our next day is going to be off. But we'll talk about it more. Barbara, we got to get moving so we can get other people on here, though.
I'm getting off.
Okay.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Well, Philip. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Maybe she'll have cake for her birthday. Just saying.
That's an exciting prospect.
Birthday pie?
I'm more about birthday vodka.
I'm okay with that. I was once.
No. Vodka and latke.
There you go.
Virgin vodka.
That Do they have such a thing?
It's called potatoes.
There you go. So let's just go ahead and bring...
potato juice.
Bring
Virgin
Mr. Potato Juice online. He is Philip.
Ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream.
That's
wow, that was a great poem.
Yeah, that was
all right.
What poem for phone call, my friend? No, I'm just
kidding. Thank you for your brevity, Philip. Good night.
And may I say that was the most witty of your poems.
I don't know if there are any Jim Jarmusch fans in the audience there, but I learned that little bit from Down by Lowell. I think it had Tom Waits in it, along with Jim Jarmusch and a couple of other
fellows. I don't know that one.
I think it was even Benigni.
Really?
Does anybody, maybe nobody knows that film.
No, I don't know it, but now I think I kind of want
to
look it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great listening to Tom Waits and Jarmusch and Benigni just chanting that together over and over again. Ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream.
That's,
but anyhow,
that sounds like
Tom Waits' voice with that phraseology.
Yeah, right. The unmistakable Tom Waits. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. And the unmistakable Benigni. Let's be straight up about that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, right? I mean, you know,
who wins an Oscar and climbs on the back of chairs over people to get to the stage?
Yeah, I get hyperactive even saying his name or thinking about him. I'm just like, and by the way, Michael, I just throwing out. I'm sorry. Yeah, no segue. Anything? I just wham. Just random. Here it is. I really appreciated your letter, by the way.
Oh.
At the very opening of your very new, nice, colored, homepage. It was really done.
Thank you.
I felt like I was part of it. I felt represented, and it was good to know that there's at least a collection of people out there who do not think poetry is dead. So.
Definitely do not. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I really appreciate you going through the effort in writing that and sharing it. So
absolutely.
Cheers to that.
Thank you.
And,
poetry is not dead. And Philip, you are one of the sustaining heartbeats of poetry still being alive this day.
Well, thank you. Yes, and indeed. At least you know that there's one madman out there and a crazy to keep going and persisting in writing. Yes, no, I appreciate that. Thank you. And also thank you for the generous offer to allow, you know, fellow writers, scribblers, and poets to submit work to the anthology. I think that's wonderful. No matter what number and what language you use, number two,
Yes.
I like do. It just, parts do.
But do. Yeah, no, it's very generous of you guys, and I'm looking forward to it, and I have selected a few. I didn't know how many. I didn't want to select too many, but I figure I'd give you more than enough, and then you can throw away whatever you don't want, or all of them if you want. That's fine. I'm not going to be offended.
We don't throw away poems that we reject. We actually save them. Uh-huh. And what we do is we have a big bonfire at the end of the season, right around Christmas time.
And we throw them into the bonfire yelling, shame, shame,
shame on you.
Shame. No.
That sounds like fun. It sounds like a good reason to drink, too.
We dress like witches. It's weird. I don't know why we do it.
Except for the Hasquatch. He's just kind of like a Hasquatch all the time.
That doesn't mean anything.
Well, I've taken up way too much time as it is, but it's so wonderful to hear you guys, and it's really exciting news. And I was actually waiting. I was like, I think I even bothered you, Michael. I'm like, If I missed the message, no, the
you
message?
Sent me a message too. Did I miss it?
Where's the damn message?
No, it was
Nobody
cool.
Tell me.
It was cool. No, it was cool that people that I mean, well, first of all, you. It was awesome that people remembered, but you sending the message was like, oh yeah, good, okay, people actually care about it. That's awesome.
So yeah, I got to ask you, as a person on the other side of the what we're doing. Do you find the live video links and the videos that we're doing an added bonus to the show?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Honestly, I'm probably not the best one to ask simply because I don't spend that much time on Facebook. I mean, all my time is elsewhere on blank sheets of paper. But I will say this, seeing you guys come together, seeing your physical presence, knowing you're out there, that you care, that you go through that effort, and when I do see you, it really touches me. It means that you guys actually give a shit, and that alone is worthwhile.
Well, no, we're trying this as a way to further interact with the people that enjoy the show, give them a little bit more of our lives and what we're like outside of the studio even.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think it truly resonates, and I think it's good for anybody who's interested in poetry, wants to know about poetry, or know about world poetry, open mic. Yeah, it gives us a face to the guys behind the scenes, so to speak, you know, and pull the curtain.
There you go.
don't get us started. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, I thought we already
and
did
I
after
want a
dark.
Brain, by the way, so whichever one of you is the wizard,
that would be our half squatch. And once again, he is working on that whole brain thing. But for now,
oh, would you stop?
Okay.
If I only had a brain. All right.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate it. Cheers. And, my God, it's become a love fest around here, hasn't it? We're all sitting, never mind, I'm not even going to go
it's
there.
It's getting deep in here, yes.
I know, right? You know, note Boston, it's not after dark, you silly lady. My gosh.
I know, I was very flushed by the time she was done with that poem.
I know, and then the little juvenile in me wants to say, well, Boston got to read a dirty poem, why don't I get to
I
read
know.
A dirty poem?
I know. Yeah. I know. I was I there know. Too, man.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll let it slide. Well, I'll get to it. And, you know, you guys put me in. I'm like so ready to read. And you guys crack me up and really cheer me up. You're good for the blues. Let's put it that way. So, all right. To it. Here we go. new poem. Title. Average length for Philip, the average length title, modeled after Max's magic trick as performed in Where the Wild Things Are, poorly imitated by an elder voice doing its best to return. And here we go. No one believes you disappeared into unmarred pages, that consciousness seeps into the untouched like a stain or ink. Semicircle wine glass ringlets limned on white tablecloth, reddened until they become cycles synonymous with moons or women's sanguine oceans, ebbing and flowing floral, or perhaps the shroud of Turin, depending on the mood. You erected stairs from words uncommon and unfamiliar, masterful bridges spanning the way collected broken phrases ascend above those voiceless abuses, estranging self from all. The irony of survival that fractures the first-person pronoun into myriads, more than legion. Familiar metaphors acting as vehicles which carry the lifeless away from Homeric battlefields like drowsy-eyed children upon forefather shoulders. Failed phrases from youth, flightless as fledgling birds, though you intuited every ephemeral breath passes into the silence that outlasts everyone and brings with it all, the way sacred scarabs once did for the Egyptian dead. Your crepuscular gaze is filled with constant mortal unrest, remembering every sound and scent of the one who secretly unsheathed what engorges on undressed innocence. devoured by the uncontrolled loveless whose gaping maw swallowed promises the same as yours, the nameless one who cannot return to the everyday ordinary, how they fear their own stories summarized as troubled seas where you saw kingfishers soar, the ones who quell cold solstice waters equally as the undulant subconscious beating waves against the present, stilled by their halcyon magic, no less amazing or fabulous than those filled with love, sharing bedtime reveries with one who is too young for the vast expanses and sharp escarpments of uncharted knowledge. And there it is, fellas.
Very well done, as usual, my friend.
Thank you. And actually ended on a positive note, which is pretty darn good for me, let me tell you.
Well, you know.
I'm always happy to crash that plane.
Funny you should mention that. I saw a Facebook meme, and you'll enjoy this. It was the Joker is the picture, and it says, if you buy a man a plane ticket, he'll fly for a day. If you push a man out of a plane, he'll fly for the rest of his life.
And Michael's over there shaking his head like Jesus.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. He's like, why do you go there? Especially in this day and age.
Yep. That's exactly my thought. Then again, you know, it's funny. He told me when we started Freudian slip. No, when we started the show, Jay Todd told us that his radio professor called him a public relations nightmare waiting to happen.
God's on his truth.
And he has proven that over and over again.
But at least that makes a very high standard to put your own foot in your mouth. So thank you for that, Jay Todd.
That's great. Yeah, yes. That's true. And it hasn't become a real nightmare yet.
No, it hasn't. We've only had one or two hate letters and then like some death threats because of who we're taking as callers. But that's all right.
All right, cheers. I look forward to the next group of poets, and thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Philip.
Thank you, Philip.
All right.
That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
You never expect to get death threats.
No. I didn't think that would happen, but you told me that we'd gotten them, mm-hmm. or you had gotten them personally. Yeah.
I kind of wish, though, and I'm glad they didn't have my phone number.
Yeah?
But part of me wants to get a death threat by phone so I can just respond, like be quiet, and just respond on the other end. You have a really sexy voice.
Yes.
But that's about it.
KK, if you call back right now, we can take you live on the air. Just call us back and we'll put you right on. Death threats is not something I expected starting this radio show. I didn't expect all the pastries either.
You know, that was the other thing that was weird. You know, I've been working out. You guys know this. I've been working out. I've been going to the gym every day for a while now, trying to lose some of this weight I put on during the school year. And one of the reasons why was at school, when you're there, you try not to eat sugar and pastries and all that. These little kids will come in, and it's always someone's birthday, right?
Yeah.
And they'll come in with cupcakes or whatever and offer you one. Now, if you say no, they actually start crying. If you say yes, they sit there and wait for you to eat it.
So here's what you do, and this is just a suggestion. Okay. Now, you're a sommelier, right? You keep a spit bucket next to your desk. You're like, this is beautiful.
That's wonderful.
Actually, I have another plan. Okay. When they come in, I'm going to go, oh, this is great. I'm going to grab one and then go, get the hell out of here. And I'm going to kick him out of my room and go and take your cupcake with you and throw it after them.
All right. So Mike will be fired before the first semester is over with?
I don't think so. I teach at a Catholic school. We like discipline there.
Oh, that's true.
A bit much, though.
I thought of a myriad of jokes, and I can't use a single one of them on the air tonight.
Wow.
I
mean, if you consider that, it must be really bad.
So since KK hasn't called back, did you want to do a submission, my friend?
I can do a submission, my friend.
All right.
One moment. Let me get prepared.
Prepared.
It means I eat a pear before I read the poem.
All right.
Done. All right. Here we go. This one. This one is short. KK, if you're hearing this, you know, you can still give us a call even after this is done. So here we go. This is from Jim from Pennsylvania. The title is Experiencing the Other Name for Autumn. Gravity is the attraction of a smaller body to a larger one. And standing high upon a ladder, I was attracted to the earth. With arms flailing, I soared with ease through the empty air, perpetrating another horrendous bird imitation. Perhaps if I were descending from a loftier height, I could consider the complexities of constitutional law, or why my cats are regarding me with a disinterested air. But as my journey was just a second long, I, being allergic to pain, only had time to think of how much it would hurt when I made that sudden stop. And that is Experiencing the Other Name for Autumn by Jim from Pennsylvania. Jim, good work. I like that one.
Jim Rothline?
Well, it just says Jim from Pennsylvania. Okay. It's Jim Rothline.
I'd be willing to bet.
It is. It's from his email address.
Oh, then yeah, it probably was.
I'm just guessing. I'm using my powers of deduction. And when I saw the email address and the name in the poem, I put 3 and 2 together.
Well, how astute of you.
Thank you, sir.
Sorry, right. I couldn't help myself.
No worries. All right, so I wrote this one today. I'm kind of excited to share it. I've got a coworker at my workaday job who says, oh, I'm not a poet. But I write.
She doesn't know it.
No. She really wants to give credit to her brother who was a poet, and he has passed, and she wants to honor him and everything like that. And I said, you know, send me a couple of your pieces of work. I want to see what they're like. And very graciously, she submitted work for our anthology. And so when I saw it and heard that she had submitted, I had to write this for her. This is entitled Words to a Poetic Sister. Her beautiful soul is quite infectious, and her smile is quite contagious. A spirit is quite uplifting, an angel upon this earth drifting. Not afraid to openly speak her mind, a gemstone such a precious find, her demeanor is often mistaken, evoking such words as crass or brazen. But those in the know who truly see understand what it's like to be free. The alpha of her growing pack, and I would not want to provoke an attack. From the outside looking in, she's so damned kind, it is a sin. By your poetic brother, you are loved and protected. By your peers, you are honored and respected. And that goes out to Rebecca Beland Cavan. Thank you, sister, for submitting to our anthology. I can't express enough how much I enjoyed your work today.
Awesome. So you know what it's time for?
I'm almost afraid with the way we started the segment.
It's
how we're gonna end it.
Time for segment part two.
All right, so you're going to want to fill up our phone line, 720-240-9766.
That is 720-240-9766.
Or you can just use Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. It's much less confusing. All right, we're back. Wow, Hootie and the Blowfish. I haven't heard them since I worked at KBOZ-FM up in Montana.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like their stuff. And, you know, Penny and I have been going on car rides, and it's our habit to turn on country stations. And she's like, oh, you like Hootie and the Blowfish, you'll like Darius Rucker. And finally, like, a Darius Rucker comes on. I'm like, wow, he sounds just like Hootie.
That's amazing.
That's incredible how.
Yeah, because Hootie is not his real name.
What?
That's the band.
What was that?
Darius Rucker.
Wasn't that in Jerry Maguire?
No.
Where he goes up, this kid goes up to Cuba Gooding Jr. and goes, are you Hootie? And
that's
he goes,
right.
No, I am not Hootie.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's also a Key and Peele skit.
Is there a Key and Peele
thing? Oh, yeah, hilarious. I love that skit, too.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Hootie! So. Oh, it's Darius! My name is Darius!
Yeah, it's good stuff.
All right. So we did have our first caller drop, so we're going to move everybody up. If you're listening at home, we're changing the scorecard at the last moment. We're doing a double switch.
We've
everybody's
never
moving
done
up
that
one
before.
Position.
So number two, you are now number uno.
Number tres, you are now number dos.
And number cuatro, you're now number four.
Yes.
No.
Wait.
What? No, number cuatro is now number tres.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait, so number cuatro is tres. Number tres is due. And due is
eins.
Is eins. Eins.
All right. So let's go to eins. Please welcome from Florida, she is Diane. Diane, are you with us?
Yeah, hang on just a
moment. Oh, hey, hold on for one moment, Diane.
Hang on. I'm going to put you back on hold real quick.
Just one second, Diane.
Oh, I forgot to mute that. That was great. This is good radio, by the way.
Quality radio here, my friend.
Hey.
And now we've got Diane on the line.
Hello, how
Hello.
Are you all
that
this
sounds
evening?
Much better. Oh, much better now that we have everything plugged in correctly. And the funny thing is, you believe in karma, right, Diane?
Of course I do.
Did all the numbers are on the wheel. Earlier, before we started the show, our producer reminded our co-host, hey, be sure to plug your guitar in correctly. And here we come out of this break.
Yep.
And you know what? He's like, yeah, I deserve that. That was great.
Fair enough.
Diane, it's good to have you back on the show.
It's very good to be here.
What you got for us?
Well, what I have is my current poem, Kabili poem. It's called That Which Abides. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Let me know when you want me to start.
Oh, no. Now is the time. Perfect.
Okay. That Which Abides. I look up into the dark sky to the eyes of the man in the moon. Cast into shadows are the beautiful plains and depths that, if mapped, would show me the sea of tranquility or the ocean of storms. Some say we never walked there, and yet imprinted on my mind's eye is the memory of Neil Armstrong stepping onto her surface. It looks so benign, so enigmatic, the glorious moon. In my heart, a feeling swells like music, a dance within a dance of atom smashing and cork swizzing, and I know that long after our kind has disappeared, long after any sign we ever existed is gone, when we are nothing more than compressed and fossilized bones left for the next major inhabitants to find, as we found the dinosaurs, that the beauty and grace of the moon will continue to shine long after we've departed. As we fall from grace or into it, I know that somewhere tonight a child is going to bed crying for a lost mother or father. A gun is screaming a deadly silence into someone's heart, leaving behind a family who will weep. A mother is feeding her baby and appreciating some quiet. A guard is walking the perimeter of his beat, seeking out hidden meaning in the shadows that permeate everything. A child is going to bed hungry, another to bed full. But long after we are gone, long after our stories have ended, the moon will continue to shine down in delicious and utter contentment upon this Mother Earth upon which we abide. And who is to say what will come next, be it aliens or insects or bird creatures, who have spawned and crawled and slithered to the next great civilization on the planet? Tonight, the moon is full, and the world it shines on is not the one that existed a millennia ago. But the moon shone then and will shine again, ever so enigmatic in its gaze, saying, I abide, I abide. And tonight, that is enough to believe in.
Very well done, Diane.
Thank you, sir.
I'm glad that you're sharing on our show. Please don't ever stop calling.
I will try not to.
You are now slated for every Friday night for the rest of your life.
Oh, okay.
Or at least, you know, we make it available at least.
Well, luckily I'm old.
Oh, you're not that old. And if you insist on saying you're old, we're going to cut you in half and count the rings.
Well, no, you just have
no
to
that's our magic show.
Oh,
that's
sorry.
Our magic show, World Poetry Magic neck. Show. Wait, World Magic Open Mic.
World Open Magic Mic.
World Open Magic Mic. And I've got to tell... which is essentially the same wardrobe I wear for this. But there's a whole lot more of accidental cutting people in half and things. It's all by accident. We're all trying out magic tricks.
Woo. Diane, thank you for calling.
Yep. Thank you, sir. God bless you. I'm enjoying the show immensely.
God bless you, too.
All right. Be well.
That was Diane on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio. Did I tell you guys the Spanish magician that I saw?
No.
You saw a Spanish magician?
Yeah, I did.
What happened?
Well, he's like, I'm going to do this trick. On the count of three, I'm going to disappear. So he's like, un, do, uno, dos, and he disappeared without a trace.
I quit. I'm done. This is the straw that it had to be in the middle of your quattro. We couldn't have been in the middle of cinco.
In the merry month of May. Anyway, let's go ahead, without any further ado, before we lose her again, let's go ahead and go over to KK from Florida.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Doing good. Thank you for calling back. I'm sorry that we dropped the last time.
Oh, no, it's fine.
So what have you got for us tonight?
I have it's called Love Letters.
All right.
And I wrote it today, actually. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. From the first time I met you, I knew I didn't want to live without you. By my side, you will stay till the end of each and every day. I know sometimes times get hard, but I promise I will be your guard. You have been such an impact on my life. I will always hold on to you so tight. At times I can be annoying, but only because I'm trying to be the best person I can be. My heart cries out every night for you. I can't wait till the day I say I do. I will always do my best to make you happy, because you deserve better than to be unhappy. You are so clever, but most importantly, you are my forever. In the poem.
Beautiful. Very beautiful. So what's his name?
His name is Anthony.
His name is Anthony. Awesome. Have you shown him this poem?
Well, I'm on Xbox with him right now, so he's hearing everything.
Beautiful. All right. So he's a lucky man, because once you capture the love of a poet, yes, you will have love for your lifetime, but you will also live beyond life in their words.
But you got to treat him well, otherwise it ends up like Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
and you're immortalized another direction. Just saying.
KK, thank you for calling our show. Hopefully you call back again, all right?
I will.
All right. That was KK from Florida on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio. Quite well done.
Yeah, it was good. Oh. You know, the thing I love about poetry like that is it is genuinely so heartfelt and
yeah.
You just tell, you know what I mean?
Yeah, love poems, yeah. Especially young love poems.
That's what I mean. Young love poems, they just have a certain...
The emotions are so intense.
And the baggage is not really there.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And you go in blindly without caution, just knowing it's going to work out. At least that's what I did, and it did. 23 years so far.
Yeah, see, that's what I did, too.
Of course, I might go home tonight and find my stuff on the front porch. Of course, that's pretty much any night at this point.
I was going to say, how do you get into your house if you don't go on the front porch?
No, find my stuff on the front porch, all my belongings.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? That happens a lot?
Well, no.
He has some nice stuff. We should hang out.
I just married someone that's such a saint. She doesn't deserve such a sinner like me, and she's going to wise up one of these days, I know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You better straighten up, man.
Straighten up and fly right.
Yeah. Well, if you can fly... I don't think you need anybody holding you down.
Nothing's holding me down.
You know, as the dogs say, you got to get up to get down.
Get up to get down.
That's it.
All right. And you quit, and I have to stay here
As the good dog said, you got to get up to get down. That's the quote.
That should be a t-shirt. We do have a caller on the line. She hasn't called in a while, but please welcome back a family member just the same. Her name is Mariah.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm confusing myself. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, yeah. How did you confuse yourself?
Okay.
Are you locked in a closet again?
That only happened one time.
Okay. All I was just going to say, just turn the lock. You can actually, those inside locking closets are weird. You can just go right out.
And really, if you go to the backside of the wardrobe, you actually have a much more entertaining world to go to.
That's very true. There might even be a lamppost in there, and we all know how valuable those are.
Yes.
No, it wasn't that bad, though, because I could actually fit a bed in the closet, so I was pretty cozy for a couple days.
Ooh. Cool closet.
That's no big feat. I hear Tom Cruise fits a bed in a closet all the time.
Tom Cruise and John Travolta hang out there all the time.
Wow.
Do you have a
I don't know. Probably. Probably. We're just throwing that out there. Probably.
Mariah, do you have anything to save us from ourselves?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Wow.
I missed this.
I have missed this too.
For some odd reason. I can't figure out why.
It's kind of like nitrous oxide when you go to the dentist. You don't really miss it during your normal life, but when you go to the dentist, you're like, I need that nitrous.
I have never said that to a dentist.
Oh, you should ask my dentist.
Hey, Doc, I need you to look at this weird nose here. By the way, I need nitrous.
Oh, anyway. I don't have my new one written yet. I'm like one segment from being done. So I am reading an old one that I haven't read in a long time.
Okay.
I had read it on air before, though. So this is Wonderland. I twist my limbs around summer mist and dance along fairy footprints until the world is spinning like a merry-go-round. Leaves cover my body. Like lovers searching for the kiss that takes my breath away, I almost don't want to breathe. And flower petals fall. Create silk dresses that spread out to infinity. When I twirl, I am 5 years old again, taking on the world with pink tutus and pirouettes, like ballet class could prepare us for all the pain. I cartwheel through rose gardens until my head is dizzy and my skin no longer feels the thorns. I am bleeding out my sacrifice, and my silk dress is stained with my freedom.
Info. Great poem, Mariah. And breaking news on the World Poetry Open Mic front. We are now being boycotted by not only the Westboro Baptist Church, but also the Church of Scientology.
So goals reached.
Woo!
Oh, great job, Mariah.
Before our
5-year
mark. That's great.
Should I tell people what my goal was last year?
Not yet.
No, not yet.
No?
Not yet.
Really, you think I should wait until it happens?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to tell you, Mariah. Sorry.
Oh.
Sorry, Mariah.
You'll know when it happens. Let's just say it'll be a great photo op.
Ah.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to pester you on Facebook until you tell me.
Okay. Go ahead and do that. Let's just say the Shamu and the Bigfoot are involved.
What?
And Tupac's hologram.
What about Chewbacca?
Tubaca.
Tubaca. It's a rapper that's very hairy.
Yes, yes. Who went into hiding to conceal the truth about the Illuminati. So, and then there's Chewjaka, who's also the French Wookiee movie star. That's
God.
And the chimichangas.
They're in league with the Chubacabras. They're also very tasty.
Chupacabras or Chupacabra?
Chupacabra's
two. There's two different kinds. Yeah. Bro. Yeah. True. So this is one of those things where the rails don't come off the show. The wheels actually like explode off of the vehicle. That's what just happened.
Yeah, we still have the rims. The literally the rubber.
Yeah. This is Mad Max Fury Road World Poetry Open Mic Edition.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mariah, thank you for calling our show. Hopefully you'll finish that poem and call us for the return engagement when it's time.
Well, I'm going to call for return engagement regardless if I'm finished by the time I call in or not.
Sweet. Beautiful. I know how you roll.
But I have to hand off Joshua to someone else before he starts crying.
All right. That was Mariah on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Wow.
Yeah.
We went there tonight.
Fast in a hurry.
Where? Yeah. Where did we go?
I'll explain once we get past this.
We're going to go somewhere else special, too.
I know we are.
Yeah.
Surprised nobody knows it's coming.
I don't even know it's coming.
We keep this a surprise from you, too.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Beautiful.
All right. So, we just finished with Mariah. I think it's time for a submission, yeah?
I think it is.
All right. Well, let's see. Now, our email box has been really hit with anthology submissions, which is really cool.
It is.
So I had to kind of dig through to find one that was sent in this last week here. This one's from a longtime submitter. It's short, by Steve Junka. It's called The First Day of Summer. Can it really be? Another season left behind us? Another untouched for me? A time for fun things and sun things? A time for rest and family? A time for counting your blessings in a world of much unrest? Yes, summer is a good time, as every child knows. What great ones have been spent in years of long ago. And that was from Steve Junka, First Day of Summer.
Very well done, Steve. Well read, Michael.
Thank you.
Steve, just keep submitting and keep kicking my butt at that Words with Friends game, too, because you're just destroying me, my friend. Him and Ellie, they both just throw down.
I miss Ellie. Can you start using words like, please call the show?
I've been trying to work that into our games. So, submission, that means it's like my turn and stuff.
It's your turn, man. Batter up.
I let JT pick the one that we're going to do this time. I've written like three new ones this week. This is entitled Wildflowers. And it's a sonnet. Of all the flowers I have picked and sniffed, savored the scent for moments in time, discarded in the end and set adrift, each one of them have been uniquely divine. Each flower bringing momentary joy, awakening unto this poet's senses, the intoxication that they employ proved to be too much for my defenses. Each one falling to the ground in the end, as another flower catches my eye, another fragrance with which I can't contend, as I inhale a discontented sigh. A field of wildflowers under the sun, by this poet, picked one by one.
Nice.
Thank you. I was just playing around with an idea I had. I actually had the idea before going to work, and I thought about it literally. I write during my lunch break. So, like, for the first two segments before my lunch break, I'm like, I've got this idea. It was cool.
That's awesome.
All right. So, we didn't fill up that segment. That means that it triggers. Wait, we're not doing it yet. We have something special planned. But afterwards, we have the return engagement.
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 But don't call yet, because we're going to give you a bonus session of
Studio X. Hello? Hello, everybody?
Yep.
Oh, you're here?
Yep.
Oh, okay. It's a little dark in here.
Sorry, I don't have a light switch anymore.
Where'd it go?
Well,
But the candlelight puts a nice mood on. Are those torches?
Those are torches.
Oh, nice.
Really?
I figure I'm going to change it up a little bit.
Now all we need is pitchforks and shovels. We can storm the castle.
They're in the other closet.
Storm the cat? All we need is a Holocaust cloak.
And a bag of holes.
Would this one do?
Why didn't you list that among our assets in the first place?
Didn't think we were going to need it.
All right. All right, so this song, I've been working. So this year, I've been feeling a bit like a huge artistic failure this year, because I've released albums like 2013, 2014, there was an album each. 2015, there was a book. This year, unless I really push it, which I am for the fiction book, but nothing's been released yet. So I'm kind of like, it's got to happen. But I've been working for a while on an album, so I'm going to play you just a couple songs tonight. And they might be kind of snippets. Arrangements might change, but here's a kind of a sneak peek of what I'm working on.
I see you, babe. I watch the way you move. My heart goes crazy every time I look at you. Forget all of the others. I don't care what they say. You're so captivating. When you steal my heart away, after all this time, life might choose to be enlightenment with a sweet melody. After all the things for which I looked, but I couldn't find. Give me love. I say, give me love. I see you, baby. I watch the way you move. Out goes crazy every time I look at you. Forget all of the others. I don't care what they say. You're so captivating when you steal my heart away. You're so captivating when you steal my heart away.
Thank you. So that's kind of a snippet of one. There'll be some other things there.
Please tell me we're going to hear that at Posick Fest.
Probably.
That was very nice. I love that. And the chat room loved it.
Oh, right. Cool. Thank you. So. And then I'm going to do, do I have time for one more?
Of course you do.
Okay, cool. So this is another one?
No, I'm sorry. We got it. I'm just kidding. No, totally.
We're screwed on this one.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, so here we go.
Baby, I've been thinking, why don't we catch the next train out of this town? 'Cause lately, my heart's been so heavy that I fear the weight's gonna take me down. Maybe wind starts blowing, I hear the sounds of mystery hanging in the air. Softly, I know they're out there. With you at my side, I'd go anywhere. Then there's this music when we're dancing. Speaks to me of a new world we could see. If it's out there, I feel pulled there, like I'm locked in its gravity. Oh, baby, I've been wondering, do you hold my heart like the earth holds the moon? 'Cause lately, when I feel your presence, love, there's a magnetic force between me and you. Then there's this music when we're dancing, speaks to me of a new world we could see. If it's out there, I feel pulled there, like I'm locked in its gravity. I can't go anywhere, I can't do anything. This gravity got a hold on me. There's nothing I can say, there's nothing I can do. This gravity got a hold on me. Baby, I've been thinking, why don't we catch the next train out of this town? 'Cause lately, my heart's been so heavy, I fear the weight's gonna take me down.
Thank you. All right, so those are two from the upcoming album with a bigger arrangement and everything.
That's really huge. Good.
Thank you.
Dude, yeah, I'm looking forward to that album.
I was reading the chat while it was going on. They really do dig it.
Awesome. So, thank you very much, guys. Thank you.
All right. So we're gonna take a moment. We're going to extinguish the torches and head on back to our regular studio. But now is the time you're going to want to call in for the return engagement. 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
Or you can use World Poetry Open Mic as your Skype ID. And we're back, ready for the return engagement.
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 Angelic, Michael.
Thank you very much. I wanted to do that with both nuts.
Wow. Wow.
That's how tenors do it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, really quickly before we get into this, you know, I grew up in a family of musicians.
Yeah.
And people assume that, you know, family musicians kind of back each other up. I want to give you an example of what it was like walking in to see my family. Okay. Earlier today. All right. I walk in and my mother goes, Michael, right away, not even saying hello, Michael, what's the second most rare sentence in the English language? And I said, what? And she goes, I really appreciate that tenor for his mind. And my entire family started laughing.
What was the first?
That was the whole joke. That's all right. The whole point. Yeah. Here's a good one I heard about drummers.
All right.
What did the drummer get on his IQ test?
I don't know.
Drool. No, okay. All right.
All right. So. Wow. All
right. We've got a lot of vicious ones.
So we do have poets on the line. Let's just go ahead and go to Illinois. Please welcome Cindy from Illinois.
Hey, hello, Michael.
Hello. Cindy?
Down.
There you go.
All right.
We're used to being turned down. It's all right.
Oh, well, I have to. I'd rather hear it.
So would we.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have a poem for us?
I have a poem for you.
Beautiful.
I wanted to do something fun, but ended up doing this one, so that's where it's at. It's called Shadows of Love. Quietly I await in the unassuming shadows for your light to fade and darkness to descend. So for a brief moment in time, I am in daylight with you. I stood at your side in the unassuming shadows, building your dream. So your light might not fade and darkness might not descend quite so quickly. My moment with you in daylight is that much briefer, and so my shadows lengthen. I reach for your side in indistinct shadows. After we have built the dream to discover a black void, for you are the light, the dream, and I am the unassuming nighttime, and daylight will never come again. End of poem.
Very well done, Cindy. I heard you say something on your way in on the phone line. You were talking with our producer. You're not at home. You're with your boyfriend?
I am with my boyfriend at his house. And
you're making him work extra hard and get extra boyfriend points by listening to the show with you?
Well, he likes the show. He likes my writing. He just wishes I'd make it rhyme.
Well,
you know. He wants to do music to it and says I write like Jim Morrison and I don't, but
better.
That's okay.
Better.
You do write very well, yes.
But I keep trying the rhyming thing. I just don't do well at it. Everything I do rhyming is humorous.
Well, you know, some people take that take. It literally, rhyming, not rhyming, formed, not formed, they're all brushes in your artistic arsenal to create. And I think you're doing a good job.
I think it's really hard to do something in rhyme and create the same feeling.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say I think that's the more talented person.
I don't know about that.
Oh,
I do it.
Oh, I don't know.
Cindy.
I keep trying and I don't get there.
maybe he needs to learn how to sing something that doesn't rhyme then.
Oh, did you hear that? You need to learn how to sing something that doesn't rhyme.
That's hard.
Yeah, it does.
The songs and bands, they all rhyme.
All right, it was fun.
Cindy, thank you, and we hope to hear from you next week as well.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
That was Cindy from Illinois on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Do all your songs rhyme?
Nope.
I didn't think so. I think we just heard a couple that didn't.
No, there were rhymes in it, but usually I will use internal rhymes in the structure rather than ending each line. But it's not. Now my lyrics don't have to rhyme.
No. He can do it. I know he can do it. All right. So from Illinois, we're going to go up to the Great White North, or at least. We'll call it pre-Canada. It's Minnesota.
Operation Leaf Blower will be staged from Minnesota.
Please welcome Mariah.
Hi.
Yep.
Do you know the details of Operation Leaf Blower? Because that sounds almost after dark.
Because you went that way. No, you know, Mariah, I have this theory that eventually we're going to conquer Canada. And we're going to be like the dread wind from the south. Otherwise, you know, never mind.
I figure created the perfect minion.
It would be the greatest name for something like that is called Operation Leaf Blower.
Wow. What about Cynthia?
Well, Cynthia would be awesome. She'd be in our country then, too. Blame Canada. Blame Canada.
Hey, I'm closer.
All right, no, I'm totally kidding. I love Canada, eh? So how's Minnesota?
don't know what my child is trying to do.
Really? How are those 10,000 lakes we hear about?
It's actually like 15,781.
Really?
Really? That's they very need to specific.
They need to update that. Yeah. Because I'm all confused now. They said 10,000 lakes, and now it's 15,781. 81. That makes me feel a little inferior. That's actually wrong by over half.
Maybe that should be their state motto.
Over 10,000 is still right.
They say over 10. The land of over 10,000 lakes. That's not
they should
that
just
cool.
call it the land of lakes.
Yeah, Lando Lakes. You guys could start. You could start specializing on dairy products.
There you go.
More than you already do.
That was a very smooth, like butter segue. Yes.
Well,
so do you have a poem for us? Thank you. What is your poem about?
I'm sitting here thinking about butter.
You can never go wrong when you're thinking about butter.
That's true. That's well, no, you can. I'm not going to go into that.
As long as you don't think about it too hard.
Well, it just, all I'm going to say is it turned into a long form case of eczema. But we'll just go from there.
God, thank you, Michael, for bailing me out of that because I was just going south. All right.
Like the wind from the south that comes to.
All
right, what do you got, Mariah?
Well, paying homage to Phillips, I lengthened my title.
All right.
I've been meaning to do that for quite some time.
Is that part of the title?
That's not the title.
Okay.
This is Vigilante Uprising Over the Tides of History Repeating. We set out upon high waters, bury our past in graves so deep we can feel the heat from inner earth spilling into empty coffins. In a world overrun by evil and good intentions, we forget to pause, forget to stop and pay attention to the havoc actions cause. Born of hatred, our emotions run amok and drive our words into the oceans of regrettable mistakes. Can't take back what's been unsaid until the damage has been done. We are terror. We are unraveling, one thought at a time, caught in the middle of what's been done and what will be, seen in the chaos and confusion stuck in the streets of our city. Paris, Orlando, Nice. We raise bloodied fists in the air and call out for justice. Use sentences punctuated by the sound of gunshots and broken screams. When will it stop? We are left bleeding in the streets because of some misshapen vigilante form of thinking, huddled together in houses turned bomb shelters, with the shells dropping outside our doors like a never-ending rain. The tides are rising, flooding the paths we take to safety. We've been here before. We know how it ends, but I guess there's a reason people bury their past. So until we remember, the business of pine boxes continues to grow as we bury bodies and secrets we're not sure we want to keep. End poem.
Very well done, Mariah. As always, great writing while we're in progress on our show.
It feels like I only write while I'm waiting in line.
Do you think?
Well, maybe you should take a notepad and go to Disneyland.
Or the DMV.
No, I think what it actually is the looming deadline.
Ooh.
So, Mariah, to get more writing done, you have to put yourself in positions where you need to have it written by a certain amount of time.
So.
That's what I do.
You need to call our show every week.
I will try.
All right.
Sometimes sleep is a little more important.
You know, I agree. I agree. Thanks. Now I'm going to yawn.
Stop it.
I know. No, I've been a new parent. I understand. I get it. But if you that deadline thing, we just need to keep you writing. You write good stuff.
Yeah. I need to get back into it.
Yes. Mariah, thank you for all that you do for our show.
Of course. And you're just going to say that until I end up saying I don't have anything to read and just hang up on you.
I thought tonight was the night. I honestly did. I even asked Mike, I'm like, is this the call that's going to be you suck and then hang up?
See, I knew you were expecting that, so nope, I couldn't do it tonight.
See? We suck too much to get the you suck call.
What?
Yep. I'm just going to say, Mariah, you do that. We're going to start calling you at 3 a.m. and you know, when you answer, being like, you suck. You suck. You suck. And hang up.
Hey, I'll probably already be up.
That's true.
Here we go. Sure. This Mariah, this is you from the future. It doesn't turn out well for you. You should probably get out now. You should just get in a van and you should go to Norway. You should probably do that right now. That'd be a good idea.
Well, I am Norwegian, so that could work out.
See? Norway's cool, guys.
They've got great metal up there.
Mm-hmm. And you're closer to Amsterdam with the best restaurant in the world. Noma. It's true.
Mm.
I'll keep that in mind.
All right. There you go. We just went off the rails. But let's act like nothing weird happened.
Don't we always?
Nothing at all.
Pay no attention.
It's never weird. Weird is our normal.
That's right. That's right. Don't be weird. Don't be weird. All right. Mariah, thank you very much.
Oh, this is Mariah and World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
I don't know if that was an evolution.
Have you seen Naked Gun Part 2?
Dude, I am the Naked Gun.
No, where Leslie Nielsen's standing there and the fireworks shop is exploding and he's like, move along, there's nothing to see here. That's how I feel about our show every
nothing
week.
Nothing to see here.
That's funny. You know, I actually feel like something from Naked Gun, the first one as well, where people are like, what is that horrible smell? And then when he goes, oh, that would be me. I've been swimming in raw sewage. That's how I feel about our show sometimes as well.
There you go.
To be honest with you.
But someone who never brings us down on the show, please welcome from Connecticut, she is Barbara.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. You know, it feels like... Mariah and I had kind of a mind mesh.
What? Like a Vulcan mind meld?
Yes, because I swear to God, she wrote that poem, and then I wrote this poem like yesterday, actually.
All right.
When this thing happened. Oh, is that 2 days ago? I can't remember. So much stuff happened.
Well, it depends on which time zone you're in when it actually happened. It could possibly have been 2 days ago.
Eastern time. Eastern time.
No way.
So, what? Are you one of those East Coast-centric type people? Everything revolves around New York?
I am. I'm very East Coast, yes.
I'm sorry. There is a big world out there that you need to experience.
There's a New York girl in me that just will not come out.
Yeah.
No matter how much I try. I've tried even moving to Connecticut.
Belt sander might help.
Oh, cut it out.
Totally kidding.
Anyway, Mariah just told me she's waiting to hear my poem because I said that we had like a mind melt. We did.
All right, then I will shut up and you can start your poem.
Crazy. And I use the words that are going to be on Poem Cumuli. One of them, I guess both of them in this poem, and it was purely coincidental. They were just in my head. And it's called Ephemeral Comfort and Halcyon Days. Far away, people tried, as in the past, to create the feeling of those halcyon days when celebrations didn't end in mayhem and death. Joy did not turn to sorrow from a truck as it crushed delicate bones with tires meant to roam on asphalt and concrete, not on the backs of innocent people whose eyes were distracted by the wild creations in the sky, plowing through as if it were invincible. The driver in the end, only a man, deluded to believe his was the cause to end all. Riddled with bullets, the vehicle finally stopped. It's one passenger, on a senseless mission. The cloak of terror was to be lifted, the weight of it creating a self-awareness of never being safe in public. The comfort of past years obliterated by the acts of terrorists had been destroyed, and now, when soon life would go back to normal, this happened. And again, there are body bags in the street, reminding us that we can never take off this garment. We must wear it until all shreds of these angry people are obliterated, as the driver finally was in a hail of gunfire. At first, we had thought this to be ephemeral, gone as the danger decreased. Pulses went back to normal. Life returned to its usual ebb and flow, and now we are realizing it must be buttressed with a new rope, woven with the threads of dignity, spun from the minds of all who wish to overcome. We must weave into it the hopes of all who yearn for, strive for, and desire it. The cloth, thin as a whisper, must remind all who wear it that it is possible to have this in the end, as more and more don this vestment, invisible to the eye yet known by the heart. It will be possible, and with the help of all, peace will reign and conquer all who dare to prick its fabric. End poem.
So the two words for the poetry prompt were ephemeral and halcyon?
Correct.
I think Philip used that in a piece earlier tonight too, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think he did. Yeah.
I was picking up on that. I'm going, there's a theme tonight. So. But thank you. That was a great poem. Yeah.
And Mariah strange, and I were thinking alike.
Strange world, just, strange days, huh?
Very strange days. And it just tore me right up inside, absolutely, when I heard of that and saw it and then realized 84 people were killed. And then it's so senseless to me. It just keeps going on. And now again in Turkey, they're having this revolt, this coup. And then, I mean, just it keeps going on. And the more it keeps going on, the more I have to write. It's like, you know, just it's inside of me and I have to keep writing. It's just endlessly having to keep writing.
That's a good way to release your emotion, yes.
It's the only thing that will save us, I think, is if more poets write about peace. You know, the one that I sent in to you guys and the one I put on YouTube.
Yeah.
Peace will win. I believe that. I believe that with my heart and soul. And hopefully it will happen. But, you know, we all have to believe it. We can't let people say, oh, yeah, this is happening. And so we have to go and attack these people and do this. No.
No. So I really it's got to stop somewhere.
We have to go and actually put out our hands and say, what the hell? You know, what's going on? Why are you doing this to people? You know, can't we make some kind of an inroad into this, you know?
An eye for an eye is never the solution. It leads to a blind world. And then everybody's stuck wearing stripes and polka dots together. And it's just not fabulous.
I know, and peace has to come. It really does, because we're destroying everything in its wake, and very sad. Anyway, I'm going to get off and let the next person get on and see what I meant by we melded. Mariah's and my minds were like
Jello
together,
mixed together. You were the ultimate Jello shot.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Barbara.
Mariah and me, aged whiskey and young Beaujolais. Not a good combination, I don't think.
That would be pretty horrendous.
That would be Barbara.
He was like, maybe ooh, old, but bourbon. What the hell is that? Yeah.
It was kind of like saying we go together like a hand and shoe.
Yes.
We're like a ham and peanut butter sandwich.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Barbara.
All right, guys. I'm getting off before this gets a little crazy. It's crazy
it's
anyway.
It's not already?
Right. No.
Thank you, Barbara. We'll see you later.
That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
By the way, I probably should have mentioned that I'm going to be on Barbara's show.
I think you just did.
Red River Radio.
Red River Radio, Tales from the Pages. When is it, Thursday the 28th?
I believe so.
So you're going to be on two radio shows in two consecutive days?
Yeah.
What?
We're going to, instead of promising that date, we have to talk about that date.
Oh.
Yeah, let's keep going, though.
It's about Posick Fest and the timing and all that stuff.
All right. So, we do have another caller on the line. Please welcome from Arizona for her second time through tonight. She is Mary.
Hi, you guys.
Hi.
It's so good to be back here, and you guys are so crazy, I just feel like I'd be lost.
Well, you know, it comes with the territory. You put together your own independent internet radio show, and it just kind of drives you insane.
In all seriousness, there's some great talent that I see before me and that I hear and that moves me and that heals me and that I really enjoy. And I appreciate the venue. I appreciate your effort.
Thank you.
There we go. We're going to do a little lovey song by Jeffrey Cochran and Carole King, written way back in 1960, the year before I was born. But it's a god darn good one.
All right.
I don't even have to say the title. I think you'll recognize it from the first first bar. How we go?
Very well done.
Wow.
I love that song.
Did you sing along, though?
That would be a criminal act in the state of Colorado for me to do any singing, so no. No, please, I did not sing.
Did your wife sing along?
My wife isn't in the studio with
but
us.
But I'm sure she did.
Probably did.
But if she heard it, would she have sang along? That's all I got to know.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Someone sing along.
Yes, of course. I'm sure Philip was singing along with them, too.
My senior Puentes-inspired hand puppet sang, too.
Philip sings in the the shower. What do you want to do with Philip? Come on up.
That's true. I sing in other people's showers, even strangers.
That's kind of creepy.
They wake up. Oh, son of mio.
What? What?
Yeah.
So W-H-A, no T, just the W-H-A.
Just what? What? I go, yep, I'll be on my way. By the way, you're out of milk.
Oh. All right. On to the next caller. You guys are lovely. Good night.
Thank you, Mary.
Jinx.
That was Mary on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of poetry radio.
Once again,
our minds melted.
Once again, weird eye contact, a sincere feeling from our heart, and we love you.
See, it's weird though, because you guys make weird eye contact at each other.
No, we don't. When we do, it's more like a professional wrestler, like stare down.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm like Ric Flair. He's like Macho Man Randy Savage.
No, I was thinking more like you were like Ric Flair, and I'm Vader.
Why am I always Ric Flair is the question.
Because you're always styling and profiling, walking around with jet airplanes.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't very good.
That wasn't good.
Hey, you know, what am I supposed to do?
I don't know, but this is like 2 weeks in a row that I've not brought up professional wrestling on our show, and you have.
Oh, well, you know, you get the momentum going.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what we need?
We need an Andre the Giant of poetry. Please welcome Philip.
Please welcome Shits in His Pants.
That's the doctor I go to. I go to Dr. Shits in His Pants.
And that's why you're so successful.
Oh, my gosh. No, I'm sitting there, you know, whatever, reciting to myself, and there's suddenly wham. I'm like, oh, hey.
Hi-yo. Hi-ya! That's why I make that sound effect when we're here.
Somebody going to get punched.
Yeah, exactly.
Jay Todd, I just wanted to throw out there, buddy, and please, this is by no means an endorsement for anybody, but you can get NO3 by other ways besides your dentist. Just letting you know.
Oh, trust me, I'm up to like 2 cases of whipped cream a week.
Well, there are even more efficient ways than that, though I do love a good whippet every now and then. They are wonderful. I
put on Devo when I do the whippets, and I whip it real good.
Well, I bet you do, right?
I usually do, and then I nay-nay. I always make a point.
Oh, jeez.
You're both fired.
But what if we had a Whippet dog that we could pet while we were doing Whippets?
Ooh.
And listening to Whippet.
These are terrible ideas.
I know.
They sound like fun ideas, to be honest, but that's, you know.
We are so juvenile here, you'd fit right in, Philip.
Oh, I know, right? Absolutely. Would be happily so. Well, I will get to it. I know you guys have had a long evening, and you're looking forward to your victory meal. And if anybody out there is, if Michael or Jay Todd or even JT, does anybody know any German at all?
I think you do, right?
I slightly do. I can understand it more than I can recite
okay,
it.
Okay, well, the only reason I ask, and I don't want to bore and snore everybody to sleep, but I threw in a word, D-A-S-E-I-N, in this piece, and... I think I'm pronouncing it, at least for myself, Das Sein, but
Das Sein.
That could Das Sein. Yeah, I'm borrowing from Heidegger. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong by any means. I'm always looking for insight. So, anyhow, with that kind of long preamble, here comes the even longer title. No, I jest. After misreading passages from Umberto Eco's Kant and the Platypus, I formulate sincere responses lost in a voice that's erringly discursive. 1. Am hardly able to adequately address this innate faculty of speech, convoluted chambers locked in head spaces, imprisoned were it not for the senses and language that brims with logos. My childlike attempts posit loneliness, these vestiges evoked by solipsism, unmistakable and undeniable, lessened, assuaged, or put at ease with sounds born on tongues of vaguest sentience, building upon noises until sentences
become parables and bedtime stories. Recall a few questions handed down from professors of linguistics and semiotics, received with marijuana inspiration, those dope-plumed dormitory evenings, pondered with innocent longing, naive gazes embarked at twilight, so humorously self-conscious. All of us terribly aware of the ways we presumed one becomes intellectual. Camus posed in cigarette mouth rebellion, looking tough though equally sensitive. Sartre's one lazy eye askew. Each accepted as masters and mentors, or at least their poster images hung as objects of feigned imitation. 2. Am nothing now but an aged man, too enraptured by subtle variations observed amidst fading seasons to offer anything but a resolute silence. My unadorned windows, companions emblazoned with sun smears and colors that elicit inward things ineffable, awakens something willingly sacrificial. All my solemn hours more akin to dreams than when I am unknowingly asleep. Besides, I've seen all thinkers usurped by physics so simple, masking subtleties complex, it makes uncertainty a constant feature of thought itself or being in itself toward inevitability, as Heidegger might bother to predicate with his Dasein. Small meals patiently consumed in peaceable companionship, with a woman who bestows kindness and is revered in return, what more could I want, pleasantly sated and seated beneath this simple roof that's yet begun to leak? 3. In the end, my happiest sighs, rounded and briefly full as a mother's plumply domed 9-month belly, contentedly dying, connected to a surrogate umbilical, arm tethered to an IV drip whose slow bolus feeds fermented blood and quells any foment that might linger within. Feasting on purplest poppies, distilled into psychedelic ambrosia, drunken intravenous hallucinations, ringing with honey dulcet synesthesia that illuminates the world I inhabit while elucidating an afar cosmos, soon enough met vis-a-vis, wandering among downy nebulae, softer than cloud stare hypnosis, luminous beds made for Hyperion and all sleepy-headed myths. And there it is, fellers.
Philip, that was great, man. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I stumbled there a little bit at the end, but...
Who doesn't?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, right? Man. I know you become self-conscious, and then I think... God, everybody's got to be asleep by now. Tucked everybody into bed.
No, I was hanging on every word.
Oh, I appreciate that, Jay Todd. You're a sweetheart. And you've got beautiful eyes, by the way, and I mean that in the most manly and heterosexual way that I can, but that's one of the things that I did learn about you, Dave. Got a nice close-up view there in that little conference room, and I'm like, he has some really nice almond eyes. I tell you, that's Thank a you. Handsome guy.
I love how you're like, in the most... heterosexual way possible. You have lovely eyes, my friend. You Thank are you. Scrumptious.
You are just scrumptious.
I'm scrumptious and fabulous.
Well, I appreciate being on. Thank you so much, guys. You all have a wonderful week, and I presume we're on next week as well.
Yes. Yes, we are.
And okay, Philip, right. May I just say that you are one ruggedly handsome man yourself, too.
Well,
oh,
you,
this
sir.
Is just so endearing to everybody.
Are you coming out for Posick Fest? Do I need to get a hotel room for you? I'm just kidding. Totally kidding.
You, well, maybe you guys can go camping together up on... No.
We're going to have something like a daisy chain, except for men. You know, I don't know what that is, but...
That's a human
good.
Centipede.
The centipede, right? Okay. And now I'm really blushing. You guys have a great evening. Thank you so much. Cheers and be well.
Thank you, Philip. That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next Evolution Poetry Radio. Wow. Was that the Brook Mountain theme?
Is it plugged in?
Nope.
I haven't played that one in like 10 years. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Brokeback Poets.
Wow.
I just can't quit.
It's actually, I learned that because it's a really beautiful piece of music.
It is. Do you want to
tell that story?
Yeah, I'm going to tell it really quickly. Right. So I was playing in Colorado Springs with a professional cowboy music band. And this was, I mean, some really great musicians. And we played 7 nights a week. You came down. It was, you saw it. It was pretty legit. Yeah. And so I was playing that song knowing what it was. I was just like, it's a beautiful theme song. And I'm playing it at a sound check before the other guys come up. And they all come up and they start one by one jamming with me on the music. And, you know, they're like, what is it? I'm like, oh, nothing. And I'm kind of like laughing to myself as we're doing it, right?
Yeah.
Figure it's a sound check thing, whatever. No one cares.
Yeah.
We're doing the show. And the partway through the show, the head of the band leans over and goes, let's jam on the thing we were doing before. And I'm like, no, don't do it.
Idea.
And he's like, no, let's go. And he just starts playing it. And so I'm like, okay. So we did. And there's like 3,000 people. Most of them had no idea. A few people were kind of confused. You can see them like cock their heads a little bit. And then there was like 20 people just absolutely losing it in the audience.
I would have been one of the ones losing it in the audience.
It was great.
Yeah. Oh, the Flying W's. God, I miss them.
You know, I wish I could have seen them there.
Yeah, it was fun. And pretty a damn decent steak meal, too.
Yeah.
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 All right. So from steak, we're going to go to a poem called Bacon Bits that I wrote this week. And I'm glad Michael preempted me with the wrestling thing. So I wrote this as a fan of wrestling. So there is a giant swerve at the end, okay? All right. The piglets all jockey for position, each one caring only for their own needs, looking for the teat closest to them, not caring who they step on, not caring if the piglet next to them is fed, not caring for the mother pig at all. The mother pig lies on her side, the piglets all scurry trying to feed from her, each one draining her dry. She is overwhelmed by all of this. She is exhausted. She is worn out and depleted. She does not know how much more of this she can take. My country, 'tis of thee, destined for poverty, welfare's great sting.
Interesting.
All right.
Yeah, that really did take a turn. I didn't expect. I was expecting another terrible bacon joke or something.
No, that was like giant swerve.
Yeah, really was. I actually liked that you didn't go to the normal joke.
Good.
Yeah, that was cool.
Thank you. I occasionally give the unexpected and do something with a little more class than Underhillian humor.
This was completely overground this time.
Yes.
Yes. I wonder, could the pig survive not with their mother's milk?
I don't know. But the other day in the store, I saw cat milk. And I'm like, who's got that horrible job? And how much armor do they wear when they milk the cats? I'm just
you
saying.
You think Navy SEALs are tough?
Those dudes are badass.
Wow.
Hey, we've got somebody in our crew that's badass.
You know, that's true. We, so, a lot of people don't know that when we started the show, we auditioned a bunch of sound engineers. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah. It was like an endless chain like the who's who in sound engineers.
It was ridiculous, and no one really got it. So, we eventually, one day, were like, do you think we got to go see him?
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, we do. So, you and I, we got on a couple backpacks, walking sticks, started walking. We walked through the glaciers of the Rocky Mountains.
I kept thinking of finer things, yeah.
Yeah, at some point, Hans Zimmer music started playing, and we got to the top of this really misty mountain, and everything was quiet, and it was kind of eerie. You remember this?
Yeah, I do.
And it was just a feeling of foreboding was there. It was like something was coming. You didn't know what it was, but it was something really powerful up there, and you could kind of feel it in the air, the electricity,
yes,
you know,
the tension,
and
you could cut it with a knife.
Right. And it was just then that the fog
just parted a little bit, and there, seated on a rock on the very top of the tallest mountain, was the haiku master.
Up on you, the haiku master!
Wow. Been a while.
Yeah, it has.
And
it has.
And you've been here. You've been here for most of the time. You came down from the mountaintop.
Yeah.
I'm glad you put clothes on.
Thank you. Yeah. It's nice and freeing up there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I understand. So
things got to get a little lonely sitting up on top of a mountain there.
They can.
They
it's
can?
Nice and peaceful. I mean,
sure.
You get to learn to communicate with the birds.
Really?
Yeah.
What do they say? What do they have to say?
It's quiet up here.
Basically, you guys just all agree on things. That's
we,
all they
really do. It's very peaceful.
It's almost like a communist society up there.
Kind of.
You just get up there and gonna just be like, pretty quiet. Yeah. Well, see you later. All right. Fair enough.
So, did you want to ask now?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Now that we've got the haiku master in house, a lot of people do special things for their work and everything. I'm part of the activity committee at my work. August 18th is Bad Poetry Day.
Bad Poetry Day.
Something we celebrate here all the time.
Well, I've been celebrating it for 27 years of writing.
I do that every day, man. I'm like Scrooge. Christmas is every day. Bad Poetry Day is every day with me.
So, they put me in charge of this thing that we're going to have a contest of 8 lines of bad poetry, and the top 3 they would like to have read on our show. This is coming from my workaday job. But I need a judge, and I could think of no one better than the haiku master to help me judge the bad poetry contest.
Huh. All right. I might be able to do that.
Nice.
Not to do all what time?
Two-ish? Two
okay.
to three, maybe?
I might be able to swindle a half day at work and swing on by.
Beautiful.
I think that would actually be good.
I'll get you a Dr. Pepper and a moon pie, and I'll be prepared for you to
awesome.
Come by and judge
perfect,
poetry.
Perfect food.
Beautiful.
All right.
So.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Love one another. The world needs the best of us. Take care of yourselves.
Oh.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, that's a great one.
You know why he's so good at those?
He's the haiku master.
Up on you, the haiku master! Hi-ya!
You know where that takes us?
That takes us to the end of the show.
That's right.
So, for Michael, the Half Squatch, the Haiku Master, and myself, we want to thank you for tuning in. We urge you to tune in 8 o'clock Mountain Time next week. And we will have more information for you on our anthology, more information on Poesic Fest. We're getting artists lined up. We've got poets already lined up. Mariah, there's a big enough line that you could write a great poem waiting for Poesic Fest, too, so you might as well just come on down for that, too. Thank you, and good night, Robert Martin, wherever you're at.